That's a very touching parasha reading, isn't it? And he's hearing, and especially when we see, you know, Yosef's dreams coming true. So I'm going to speak on Hanukkah today, being the only Shabbat in Hanukkah. So I've titled it the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication. And it is an 8-day Jewish celebration known as Hanukkah, which commemorates the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem during the second century of this current era. Oh, sorry, before this current era, where according to legend, and most things connected to Hanukkah is completely legend and made up. So I'm going to try and level that out for you today. So according to legend, Jews had risen up against their Greek Syrian oppressors in the Maccabean revolt. Hanukkah is a Hebrew word which means dedication in Hebrew. It begins the 25th of the day of the ninth month, often referred to as Kislev on the Hebrew calendar, and usually falls late in November or early December. It's also been called the Festival of Lights, and the holiday is celebrated with the lighting of the menorah, traditional foods, games, and gifts. All of these things are tradition. None of it is biblical. I'll explain myself further. I have to make myself clear at this point that there is absolutely nothing documented in Scripture on how to celebrate this festival. Not one word. Scripture tells you that you have to light a Hanukkiah. A scripture that tells you, there is nothing in Scripture, I'll say that again. There's nothing in Scripture that tells you that you have to light a Hanukkiah. That is a 9-branched candelabra. I'm guilty of it. I've done it in the past. Everything that done is during this time is purely tradition. So I believe that how you commemorate it is entirely up to you. I'm not going to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. I'm going to tell you what Scripture tells you and what I prefer to do. So I believe that it's up to you. For this reason, I'm going to give you my own personal account on how I enjoy, and I mean enjoy, this festival. I think it's an amazing festival. It is during this festival, a time of dedication, when I remember not just the dedication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, but it's an ideal time to rededicate my life as a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach and rededicate my life to Him. And this is why I like to have the festival, the immersions, and as dedication to Yeshua at this time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "Or don't you know that your body is a temple for the Ruach HaKodesh who lives inside you, whom you received from Elohim? The fact is, you don't belong to yourselves." Once you become a believer, you no longer belong to yourself. You belong to Yah. As the scriptures say, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Yehovah Elohim. Therefore, during this test festival, it's time to make a prayer of dedication. For you to desire to pray at this time, you might say, "Well, thank you, Yah." There's a third slide. "Thank you, Yah, for the miracles in my life, for my redemption through the blood of Yeshua, for your mighty deeds, the saving acts and the wonders you've created at this time." Lighting the candles of the Hanukkah is purely traditional, and it's not a biblical command. If you want to follow tradition, that's up to you. But there is only one menorah that was ever commanded to be lit, and that is a 7-branch menorah, not a 9-branch one. I have to admit, I have used to light my Hanukkah as I thought that it was what had to be done because I was raised in a Jewish family. But it didn't have to be done. It's just tradition. And once I've learned the truth, I will admit I've changed my ways. In Matityahu, or Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, "Behold my servant in whom I delight, my beloved for whom my soul has longed. I shall put my Elohim upon him, and he will preach judgment to the nation." It was during this festival that Yeshua was conceived. It was a time to remember him and focus on what he has done. Yehovah's just shifting furniture upstairs. It's all right. Don't worry about it. It was during this time that we have to remember of his conception. Yehovah called Yeshua his servant. So I remember Yeshua, who came as a servant. It's also a reminder to me what he did for me. He suffered for me. He gave his life for me. He died so that I could live. It's also a reminder to me too that I must be a servant for Yehovah, to those of whom I come in contact, so that I can then praise him for all the miracles that have happened, especially in my life, especially in the past year. And I had two financial miracles this week alone. Yah is amazing. He does it all the time. He keeps, you think you've got a bills coming up and bills coming up, and all of a sudden, it's all good, it's all cleared, and he's done it. And Yeshua himself said in Yochanan chapter 8 and verse 12, and Yeshua spoke again with them and he said, "I am the living Elohim, the light of the world." He is the light. He's the menorah. He's the light. "Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but you shall find the light of life." In this festival of dedication, also known as the Festival of Lights, we can be his light today, shining as Yeshua did, and each of us becoming his light to the world. Even children, if taught from an early age to look for blessings in their lives and to give thanks and praise to Yah for them, will retain this knowledge into adulthood and become responsible citizens within their community. Remember, this is a time of dedication. This is what Hanukkah means. It's a time of rededicating your life, your soul, that is your mind, your will, and your emotions to Yehovah. It is a time of cleaning out the tabernacle, where the Ruach HaKodesh resides, and rededicating it afresh to Yehovah. So it needs to be personal to you. I like to praise him during this time. And you can praise can go something like this. "I praise you, Yeshua, that through your blood, my sins are forgiven. I praise you that through your blood I'm justified and I'm made righteous. I praise you that I'm holy and set apart as you are holy. I praise you, Yeshua, that through your blood I have been sanctified." You can then praise him through all the multifacets of who he is. Yehovah has many names, so I'll go through a few of them for you. For example, I praise you that you are Yehovah Yireh, my provider. You know all things and you've made provision for them. Yehovah, I praise you for your divine healing in my life, because Yehovah, you are Yehovah Rapha, Yehovah the healer. I praise you that you are my healer. Yehovah, I praise you that you are Yehovah Nissi, Yehovah my banner. I praise you that you are my banner of protection in the midst of the enemy's attacks. I praise you that you are El Shaddai, Yehovah Almighty, the source of strength, the creator of bounty. I praise you that you are the all-sufficient one. You are more than enough to meet my needs in any situation. So then you might then mention how he has met your needs throughout the year and start thanking him for them. Yehovah, I praise you that you are Yehovah Shalom, Yehovah sends his peace. I praise him that in the midst of conflict or turmoil, you have gone throughout the year ahead of me. You have helped me maintain my peace. You can personally name the miracles that have happened in the past 12 months that Yah has brought you through because of who he is to you. You can also praise him by the fact that he is Yehovah Roi, Yehovah my shepherd. And Yeshua is also known as our shepherd. And this is an ideal time to praise him through personalizing Tehillim or Psalm 23, which would go something like this. I praise you, Yeshua, that you are my shepherd. I do not want for anything. I praise you that you cause me to lie down in green pastures and that you lead me beside still waters. I praise you that you allow me to rest in you. I praise you that you restore my soul and you guide me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I praise you that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil. You are with me, you comfort and you protect me, and you are always with me. I praise you that you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I praise you that my cup overflows, that your abundant loving kindness and mercy supplies all my needs. I praise you that only goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I praise you, Yehovah, that I will dwell in your house forever. It's easy when you just use his words. You don't have to make them up yourself. You use his scripture. You can also acknowledge who you are in Yeshua as you give him thanks to what he has done for you. For example, Yeshua says, I thank you that I am righteous through Yeshua, I thank you that I am righteous through your name. I thank you that I am saved through your name. Yeshua, I thank you that I have eternal life and that I will never perish. Yeshua, I thank you that you are in me. Yehovah, I thank you that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I thank you that my body is a tabernacle for the Ruach HaKodesh to dwell, and my soul, my mind, will and emotions are your sanctuary. I thank you that the Ruach HaKodesh witnesses with my spirit, or my Ruach, for Romans chapter 8, and that I am a child of yours. Because of my covenant relationship, I can pray Abba, Father, or Daddy. I thank you through Yeshua that I am a joint heir of yours. I thank you that through Yeshua I am born into your family. I thank you that I have everything through Yeshua HaMashiach. I thank you that I'm justified, sanctified. I'm holy and set apart as you are holy through Yeshua HaMashiach because of your relationship with me and my obedience to your Torah. I thank you, Yehovah, that I have better covenant built upon better promises. I am an heir to all of the promises. I thank you, Yeshua, that you've taken away my sin and that you remember my sins no longer. I thank you that you've chosen me in love. I thank you that you foreordained and you planned me in love. I thank you that you've set me apart under yourself in love. And I thank you that I now have redemption through your blood, the blood of your Son and the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of your grace. I thank you, Abba Father, that your grace and mercy and love are extended towards me. And I thank you that I receive the very life of Yeshua HaMashiach. I've been raised up with him and I'm seated with him in the heavenly sphere. I thank you that I'm protected against the attacks of the enemy. And I thank you that your word has set me free, that your promise of your promise, I thank you for your promise and whatever that it may be. In Yochanan chapter 8, verses 32 and verses 36, it says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And 36, if the Son frees you, you will be really free. Use this time, these 8 days of Hanukkah, to thank Yah for the privileges and the blessings that you have in being able to worship Yeshua and Yehovah freely, especially in this country. Jews and Christians alike are prevented from doing that in many parts of the world, especially on the Temple Mount, where the Second Temple used to exist, And it is this reason for this festival. Now let me give you what is acknowledged as the history of Hanukkah. And as I said in the beginning, it's purely legend. The events that inspired the Hanukkah holiday took place during a particularly turbulent phase of Jewish history. About 200 before this current era, Judea, also known today as the land of Israel, came under the control of Antiochus III, the king of Syria, who allowed the Jews who lived there to continue practicing their religion. His son, Antiochus IV Epiphanes, proved less benevolent. Ancient sources recount that he outlawed the Jewish religion and ordered the Jews to worship Greek gods. In 168 before this current era, his soldiers depended on Jerusalem, massacring thousands of people and desecrating the city's holy second temple by erecting an altar to Zeus and sacrificing pigs within its sacred walls. Led by the Jewish priest Mattathias and his five sons, a large-scale rebellion broke out against Antiochus and the monarchy. The time was supposed to have been on the 25th of Kislev, 168 before this current era. When Mattathias died in 166 BC, his son Judah, known as Judah Maccabee, Maccabees is a word for hammer, took the helm, and within 2 years, the Jews had successfully driven the Syrians out of Jerusalem, relying largely on guerrilla warfare. Maccabee was not the surname of Judah. Judah and his brothers were the son of Mattathias, or as we'd say in Hebrew, Mattityahu. So he would have been known in Hebrew as Yehuda ben Mattityahu. Just as if I was in Hebrew, I would be Tamar ben Yaakov. So there wasn't surnames in those days. They were always the son of or the daughter of. Apparently, Maccabee was the warrior nickname of Judah and is an acronym of four letters for the Hebrew words. It's M-K-B-I, Mikamoka, Ba'alim, Yehovah, which comes from Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, which says, "Who is like you, Yehovah, among the mighty?" And that was what Maccabee stood for. You can see MKBI, Maccabee, in those letters, which stand for Mikamoka Ba'alim. Why did they choose a verse from the song of Out of the Sea of the Exodus as the basis for their identity? This song of praise celebrates the defeat of the mighty Egyptians' army during the crossing of the Sea of Suf, or the Red Sea. A perfect example of the weak overcoming the strong. But even more than this, the song makes an explicit reference to the temple in Jerusalem, where it says in Shemot Exodus chapter 15 and verse 17, "You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain which is your heritage, the place Yehovah that made your abode, the sanctuary Yehovah which your hands established." In their battles against the Syrians, the Maccabees drew inspiration from the mythical story of the Exodus, looking forward to the day when Yah would plant them on his holy mountain. Judah called on his followers to cleanse the second temple. They rebuilt its altar and lit its menorah, the gold candelabrum, whose seven branches represented the knowledge and creation and were meant to be kept alight or burning every night. The menorah was lit exactly 4 years after it was desecrated, on the 25th of Kislev, 164 before this current era. Other interpretations of the Hanukkah story have a radically different interpretation. In their view, Jerusalem under Antiochus IV had erupted into civil war between two camps of Jews, those who assimilated into the dominant culture that surrounded them, adopting Greek and Syrian customs, and those who were determined to impose Jewish laws and traditions, even if by force. The traditionalists won out in the end, with the Hasmonean dynasty, led by Judah Maccabee's brother and his descendants, wresting control of the land of Israel from the Syrians and maintaining an independent Jewish kingdom for more than a century. Jewish scholars have also suggested that the first Hanukkah may have been a belated celebration of Sukkot, which the Jews had not the chance to observe during the Maccabean revolt. One of Yehovah's most important festivals, Sukkot consists of 7 days of feasting, prayer, and festivities. As we have two different ideas, telling two different stories and historians saying something different again, it's difficult to say which one is actually true. But what we do know that in Yeshua's day, he went to the temple during Hanukkah. In Yochanan chapter 10, verses 22 to 23, it said it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Yeshua was walking in the temple on the porch of Shlomo. In recent decades, particularly in the Western world, Hanukkah has exploded into a major commercial phenomenon, largely because it falls near or even overlaps with Christmas. From a religious perspective, however, it remains a relatively minor holiday that places no restrictions on working, attending school, or any other activities. You just go on with your daily life. Here in the modern era, the festive season is centered on a lie by a mystical person called Santa Claus. And an acronym for Santa, of course, is Satan. The world is being placed into a position of spending money that most people do not have, or putting guilt trips on people who cannot give their children what they want from what they have seen in advertisements. It's also a time where parties are held. People are overindulging. People are driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs. And many people, particularly young, are being senselessly killed in motor vehicle accidents. I have to admit that never in my life, and I mean never in my life, have I enjoyed the pagan festival of Christmas. But far less can I say that I vehemently hate the lie of Santa Claus. My spirit literally grieves, especially for children who are taught a lie at a very young age and then go to school and some child bursts their illusionary bubble of this mystical person. For many, the festive season has been taken far out of context and is certainly not a season of being a light to the world or peace and joy as many try to portray. I want to finish this message with a video from Rabbi Zev Porat in Yerushalayim on his interpretation of this festival. I haven't watched it, to be honest with you. I believe he covers it well, but he also emphasises the fact that you are not commanded to light a Hanukkah. So, I believe that this is a second witness to what Yehovah has shown me. So if we could play that video, please. Play the video, and then I'll just finish off.
Shalom, I'm Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat. We are in the season of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication. We celebrate Hanukkah, dedication. Is dedication in the Bible? Absolutely. Did Yeshua Jesus celebrate Hanukkah? Absolutely. We don't celebrate what's not in the Bible. The Feast of Dedication is in the Bible. Although it's not one of the seven feasts mentioned in Leviticus 23, it still is a feast. It still is a holiday. John chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus, Yeshua, was in the temple courts walking on Solomon's colonnade. So we can see here 100% that the feast of dedication is biblical and that Yeshua celebrated the feast of dedication. And the word dedication in Hebrew is the word Hanukkah. It was the feast of Hanukkah, in English, the feast of dedication, because Hanukkah means to dedicate. As you'll see in the teaching that I'll be doing in this video about Hanukkah, you'll see that we don't light a nine-stick menorah as believers in Yeshua. If you're born again, if you're under the blood of Jesus, under the blood of Yeshua, if you believe that he died on the tree on the cross for your sins, he rose on the third day, and by his blood, all who repent and believe have full redemption of sins. If you're born again, then you should not light a nine-stick menorah, because a nine-stick menorah is not in the Bible. It is not biblical. Jesus never did it. Yeshua never did it. The disciples never did it. There's one menorah in the Bible, and that's the seven lampstand menorah. And that's what I'll be talking about in this video, and how to celebrate Hanukkah and what it really means according to the Word of God in context. Everything else is just traditions invented by the rabbis. And we don't follow the rabbis. We follow only Jesus, Yeshua. Only the Word of God in context. All the other teachings out there that are very nice and very adventurous are not biblical. Shamash, and the middle one is Yeshua. The middle one is Yeshua, but not in the nine-stick menorah. It's on the seven-stick menorah. It's in the book of Revelation. I'll get into it in the teaching. It's very, very important when you hear a teaching that sounds adventurous and nice, check the Word of God. Is it in context? Is it really in the Word of God? Otherwise, we're being deceived. We're a stumbling block to those who don't believe in Yeshua, and sometimes even a stumbling block to those who believe in Yeshua, because when they see believers following all these rabbinic traditions, they say, we don't want anything to do with it. We don't want to understand what the Bible says according to the Biblical Hebrew Foundation, because they're trying to take us to rabbinic traps. Paul speaks about this in the book of Galatians and other places, and I'm paraphrasing. If anybody preaches a gospel, a different gospel, other than the one we preach to you, let him be under God's curse. And I'm paraphrasing. What's a different gospel? A different gospel is following rabbinic traditions and adding Yeshua to it. That's a different gospel. That's one aspect of it. Israel's at war. We're at a very, very difficult time right now. We know that the only reason Israel is winning this war against these Hamas demons, these terrorists, is because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has his hand upon Israel. But he has his hand upon Israel in order for them to repent, in order for them to turn to Messiah Yeshua, the true light of the world. As Yeshua said it with his own mouth, I am the light of the world. So Hanukkah is a wonderful time when the IDF soldiers are going to be lighting these nine-stick menorahs in Gaza and other places in Israel, celebrating the Feast of Hanukkah. It's our duty as believers in love to preach the true gospel to them, to say we also light the menorah, but we light the seven lampstand menorah representing the Messiah. That was the menorah that was in the temple. And we can start preaching the gospel to them in love, asking them questions. And this is what we do here in the ministry. Unfortunately, the hostages that have been released from Gaza are now coming out and sharing their experiences. And it's horrific. Young women were raped over there. They were tortured. They didn't have enough food. It's just like in the Holocaust, what happened over there. And we're reaching out to these families, to the people that were in Gaza, to their families. We're reaching out to the IDF soldiers. We're reaching out to the war victims, providing them with basic necessities, with food vouchers, but most of all, with the comfort and the love of Yeshua. And what a wonderful time to do this in Hanukkah. As of the making of this video, rockets continue to pound Israel. The IDF are in Gaza, in South Gaza, North Gaza. Unfortunately, because we live in a fallen world, there are many casualties. Many IDF soldiers have been killed, have fallen. One thing is certain, Israel wins. We give all the glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Yeshua. Stand with us as we continue to preach the gospel in the midst of a war. And may you and your loved ones be blessed in this Hanukkah season, representing Yeshua, the true lampstand, the light of the world. Now let's dive into the Hanukkah teaching.
And today we're going to be having a deeper look at the Feast of Dedication. Hanukkah, Hebrew meaning dedication, also known as the Feast of Dedication or the Feast of Lights. It is an 8-day feast commemorating the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem after its destruction by Antiochus in the 2nd century BC. Hanukkah commemorates the miracle of the 1-day supply of consecrated oil to light the temple menorah lasting 8 days, the time required to prepare a fresh supply of oil. And this is why the rabbis use a 9-stick menorah. This is not biblical to use a 9-stick menorah. We use the biblical menorah, which is the 7th lampstand, representing Yeshua as the light of the world. But the rabbis did not have the understanding of the Messiah, did not have the understanding of the light of the world, and therefore they invented a 9-stick menorah, which is not biblical. Yes, there was a miracle in Hanukkah that took place. It was a foreshadow of Yeshua the Messiah, the light of the world, the perfect 7th lampstand menorah. Hanukkah means dedication. So many people say, we don't see Hanukkah in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. You just need to know that it means to dedicate. Dedicate the temple. Everything that was will happen again. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, the Bible says that God declares the end from the beginning. Ecclesiastic 1, verse 9, what has been done will be done again. Nothing is new under the sun. The Bible says that they rededicated the temple. We are the temple of God. We need to dedicate our lives to Yeshua the Messiah. Everything that was will happen again. Everything in the Old Testament is a shadow of the new. We know that Enoch in the Old Testament dedicated his life to God. He walked faithfully with God, and he was taken away. He was raptured because he dedicated himself. And in fact, the word Enoch in Hebrew comes from the root word Hanukkah, which is to dedicate. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. So the very name of Enoch means to dedicate, and Enoch dedicated himself to God, and God took him away. What it's a picture that you and I, when we prepare ourselves for Yeshua's second coming, we too will be taken away to meet the Lord in the air and go home. As we dedicate our life to Yeshua the Messiah, as we prepare ourselves for his second coming as the bride of Yeshua the Messiah, we know that the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, is celebrated for 8 days, but we see the picture of the new heavens, the new earth. The dedication to those who dedicate themselves to God will be the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. What is the core principle of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication? Well, first of all, it's the number 8. It's 8 days long. 8 in the Bible, 8 in the Hebrew, is the word shmone. Shmone means plumpness. That's where the Hebrew word shaman, plentiness, comes from. It meaning to superabound. It also has to do with regeneration. In Revelation, we have the new heavens and the new earth. We have new beginnings. Let's go back to about 1500 BC. We're going to start at the time of Moses. We're going to see the deep spiritual meaning of the number 8. Regeneration, rededication, new beginnings. Exodus 22, verse 30. Do the same with your cattle and your sheep. Let them stay with their mothers for 7 days, but give them to me on the 8th day. So we see that the 8th day represents dedication. The Lord says, give them to me on the 8th day. The concept of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, is all over the Bible. The word to dedicate in Hebrew is the word Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is also the 8th letter. And in Hebrew, the 8th letter is to dedicate. It's also how we pronounce life in Hebrew, with the letter Chet. Chet Hanukkah. Chaim means life. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass that on the day Moses anointed and sanctified the tabernacle on the 8th day. Let's have a look at Numbers chapter 7, verse 88. Total number of the animals for the sacrifice of the fellowship offering came to 24 oxen, 60 rams, 60 male goats, and 60 male lambs a year old. These were the offerings for the dedication of the altar after it was anointed. So we see right there the altar, the Hanukkah, the temple. That's what it says in Hebrew for the dedication. For the Hanukkah of the altar, it was anointed. We see that the feast of the word dedication to Hanukkah is all over the Bible. So no one knows it's in the Bible. But if you read it and you understand that Hanukkah means to dedicate, then you begin to understand that it's very biblical. Let's have a look at Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1. And on the 8th day, Moses summoned Aaron and his sons and all the elders of Israel. Again, we see the eighth day, Hanukkah, dedication, the rededication of the temple. We are the temple of God. Eight is new beginnings. Eight is when you give to the Lord. It's all over the written word of God. And that's the true meaning of Hanukkah. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, they just look at the shallow meaning of the eighth day. They don't see this because they don't have the Holy Spirit. How many of us know who Jesse is? Jesse was the father of King David. We see in Matthew 1 verse 6 that Jesse was the father of King David. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 10 that he had seven sons. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So who did he choose? He chose King David. King David was the eighth son. King David represents Messiah Yeshua, because from the branch of King David will come Messiah Yeshua, and he was the eighth son. We see this concept all over the written word of God. Let's have a look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. So we see there were eight, a preacher of righteousness and seven others. Once again, we see dedication. He dedicated himself to the Lord. He was righteous in the Lord's eyes. He was number eight. There was the flood. Then there was new beginnings. It's the concept all through the Bible. As we said before, everything that was will happen again. It's all a shadow. It is the biblical pattern with the number eight. And it ties in direct with dedication, Hanukkah. King Solomon dedicates the temple. In Hebrew, it says he Hanukkahed the temple. Let's have a look at how King Solomon dedicates the temple, how he Hanukkahs the temple on the eighth day in Hanukkah. And that would be 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 8. And at that time, Solomon kept the feast for 7 days, and all Israel with him. A very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the eighth day, he held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the feast for 7 days. So we see that on the eighth day, he Hanukkahed the temple. It's all over the written word of God. And that is a true meaning of the feast of dedication. That is a true meaning to Hanukkah, the altar, the Hanukkah, the temple, to dedicate ourselves. We see this with Enoch. We see this with Noah. We see this concept of the Feast of Dedication of Hanukkah all over the Bible, and it all points to Yeshua HaMashiach. Moses dedicated the temple. He anointed the priests on the eighth day. He Hanukkahed them. Now we can begin to understand why Yeshua, Jesus, walked in to Solomon's temple, on Solomon's porch, on the Feast of Dedication. Why he proclaimed himself to be the light of the world. And we see that Yeshua celebrated the Feast of Dedication. We begin to have a deeper look at why Yeshua called himself the light of the world. In the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse 31, you are to make a menorah of pure gold. So we see that Moses was instructed to put a menorah in the tabernacle in order to give light. It was a foreshadow of Yeshua, the light of the world, the perfect menorah. As we said, everything in the Old Testament is a shadow of the new. Ecclesiastes 1:9, everything that was will happen again. This is the pattern of the Bible. So when we begin to study the Bible under the biblical Hebrew foundation, under the way that Yeshua taught it, under the way that Yeshua is the written word of God, we begin to see all these pictures, the nations grafted into the olive tree, into the menorah, into the light of the world, Yeshua HaMashiach, and we become the one new man, Ephesians 2:15. We dedicate our life to Yeshua HaMashiach. We walk with him, and we get taken away just like Enoch does, and Enoch means to dedicate the Hanukkah. Very important to see that the menorah, the lampstand, the golden lampstand, has seven lampstands. Seven is a number of perfection. Seven is a number of God. It is the perfect light in the tabernacle. Menorah is the tree of life. Without that menorah, the temple would have been totally dark. Yeshua is the light of our temple. Jeremiah chapter 11 calls Israel the olive tree. That is to be the light to the world. Romans 11 verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive were grafted in among them and became a partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. This is the beautiful picture of the Feast of Dedication, the Feast of Hanukkah. Exodus 13, verse 21, the pillar of fire, the Shekinah glory. How do we celebrate the Feast of Dedication as New Covenant believers? And what did Yeshua mean when he walked into Solomon's porch and proclaimed himself as the Messiah, as the light of the world? Yeshua the Messiah celebrated the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah. We turn our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus, Yeshua, was walking in the temple courts in Solomon's colonnade. And this is exactly where the Pharisees, the religious leaders, confronted Yeshua and asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must live a life as Yeshua did. The Bible says that everything that Yeshua did, he set it as an example for us. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 15, "I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you." So first of all, we see that everything that's in the Bible that Yeshua did in his 3.5-year ministry is an example for us. So if Yeshua celebrated the Feast of Dedication, and the Bible says that everything he did is an example for us, then we need to celebrate the Feast of Dedication as followers of Yeshua the Messiah. Yeshua the Messiah in the Feast of Dedication in the temple, in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12, said, Yeshua spoke again to the people. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And if Yeshua said, "I'm the light of the world," and the Bible says that everything he did is an example for us, we can begin to understand the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14, where it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, with this understanding, we can begin to look at the Feast of Dedication, which is the Feast of Hanukkah. But first of all, we need to understand one of the reasons that the Pharisees confronted Yeshua when he was walking on Solomon's porch and asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" This is the reason. They know what the Bible says. And the Bible says that the glory of the Lord departed from the temple eastward. Eastward is the Mount of Olives. And they're waiting for that glory to return to the temple. And that's why they ask Yeshua if he's the Messiah. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 10, verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple and stopped above the cherubim. That is pointing eastward. And this is the reason the Pharisees were asking, "Are you the Messiah?" Because they know what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 43, verse 2, "And I saw the glory of God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like a roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory." This is the reason in the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, the Pharisees confronted Yeshua and asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" Because they're waiting for that glory to return from the east. And we know, as New Covenant believers, that Yeshua is coming back, and his feet will land on the Mount of Olives, which is eastward from the temple. The difference is, those Pharisees, who did not have the Holy Spirit, didn't know that the Messiah is right there with them. The glory is right there in the temple. We, as New Covenant believers, are waiting for Yeshua to return and to bring his glory and to come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah with fire in his eyes to take back everything the enemy has stolen. So how do we celebrate the Feast of Dedication? Well, the word dedication means to dedicate. So we need to dedicate our life to Yeshua the Messiah, to be followers of Yeshua the Messiah. Yeshua the Messiah in the Feast of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, proclaimed himself to be the light of the world. We are to be the light of the world. And that's how you celebrate the festival of Hanukkah, by being a light to the nations in this dark time. We don't follow rabbinic traditions. We don't follow historians. We follow only the written word of God. And the written word of God says that Yeshua is the light of the world. The written word of God says that we are to be the light of the world. And that's how we celebrate Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, by dedicating our life to be followers of Yeshua the Messiah. I'm going to pray right now in Hebrew over you and your loved ones. Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26, the Aramaic blessing. One thing I want to bring out in the Hebrew text, this is a signal of blessing from God, meaning God is coming to each one of you one by one and blessing you. The one that's praying this blessing is just a mediator. The blessing is coming from the heavens.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichonecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The peace of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Thank you for joining me. I'm Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat, sending you blessings from Israel in the mighty name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Al Yehuda, the Great I Am, Jesus Yeshua. Amen. Every knee shall.
I believe that was a second witness from what Yah gave me, and that's why I wanted to tie it in with that, because it's not easy to find someone who actually believes what you believe. And that to me was a second witness. So hug Hanukkah Sameach to each and every one of you as we enjoy this festival celebration. We've still got the remembrance service to do, and you'll find that on the table I've got some gold coins there. That's one tradition I haven't let go yet. Purely and simply, as a little girl, as a child, that was my only Hanukkah present, was the little packet of Hanukkah gilt. The gilt, or the gold coin, represented to my grandparents, who gave me this every year for my Hanukkah, the gold, of course, is wealth, and the bag of gold is prosperity for the coming year. So when you go out to have your remembrance, feel free to take a coin or two. And if you run out, I've got more there. Okay? So I don't have a sweet tooth, so I don't eat them myself anymore. But they're there for you just to have prosperity for the coming year, and may Yah bless you with wealth as well. So let's return to the remembrance service. Oh, has anyone got any questions on that message on Hanukkah? You're all okay with that? Okay.
So when we're hearing that, come to mind is that why do they even come in with a 9 menorah? Because when they lit the menorah and it would lasted for 8 days, it was always a 7 menorah.
Yeah, and that Yeshua was supposed to be the middle one's the Shemash candle, which is means servant,
yep,
candle, and Yeshua came as a suffering servant.
Yeah.
And that Shemash candle was used to light all the other candles. And on the first day, you'd light one, second day, two, three, until the end of Hanukkah.
But that's not exactly what happened, because they...
No, of course it's not what happened. But even the cruse of oil is a furphy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a complete furphy, the cruse of oil. Mm. So it's all tradition, it's all myth. So I wear a menorah around my neck. I wear a menorah for a reason. One, it represents the tree of life to me. It's the shape of a tree of life. It represents Yeshua and the light of the world. It reminds me constantly, the greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. It reminds me that I have to be a light and shine the light of Yeshua to those around me. I would rather wear a menorah than a six-sided star that has no meaning except that it represents the star of Rephaim, who Yeshua said is not the right person to worship. And hence I prefer to wear the menorah. And I wear the tree of life all the time because it reminds me of a tree of life. And I have to be a life and a light to the people that I'm trying to teach and encourage and to lift up. And so that's a constant reminder for me to serve Yah and be his servant. But we all have different reasons. But it's only a seven stick candelabra. So if you've got a seven stick candelabra at home, feel free to light that one, but not a nine stick one.
So, I mean, that's my point, is that when they lit the menorah, they lit the menorah with seven candles, and it lasted for 8 days. You get what I'm saying? They didn't ever light a menorah.
No, they only did it once. It lasted 9 days.
Yeah, that's right. So therefore, yeah, right. I mean, it's completely a furphy.
Yeah.
It's not even there. The other thing too is that I pictured an olive tree with that. With the menorah. Yeah, so quite amazing.
And that's what I love. In Yerushalayim, you'll find mostly, you'll see that seven menorah with the two olive branches on either side. And I love that symbol. That's everywhere in Israel, in Yerushalayim. So let us go to the remembrance service. Oh, you got a question? Go for it.
So... I missed the point that Zev Porat was making in the beginning, where he was talking about the relevance of the menorah to Hanukkah, to the festival of dedication.
The menorah, there was only one ever menorah commanded by Yah that had to be made of pure gold, and it was a seven-branch menorah.
Yeah. Okay. But what's the relevance to that with Hanukkah, though?
The relevance to that, to Hanukkah bring out a nine-candle abra.
Yeah, which and is a Hanukkiah, not a menorah.
That's a Hanukkiah. Well, they call it a Hanukkiah, but it's also a menorah, because menorah means candlestick. Okay, menorah means light, or within the menorah, so a feminine word, is from the light. That's what the actual word means. Or is light, me is from light. And the a is the feminine word of the word. So what he was getting at is you don't light the Hanukkiah. The only mention of a lamp within the scripture, all the way through the scriptures, is the menorah. It's the only lamp you've ever been commanded to light.
Yeah, but there's no commandment to even observe Hanukkah. What's wrong then with having, because I quite like the idea, because I've seen the Hanukkah where there's one candle at one end that you light first, and then you light all the other candles from that, and then they start at the other end, and every day for
tradition.
8 days. I realise it's tradition, but it doesn't make it wrong, because the whole Hanukkah thing is tradition.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And if Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah...
He never lit a Hanukkah.
Yeah, but we don't know if he did or not.
We do know.
Why? Where does it say that
because
he didn't?
Because there's no Hanukkah mentioned in Scripture. And Yeshua only followed Scripture. Yeshua never followed tradition. He actually... That's what he was against the Pharisees and the Sadducees for following the God of Rephaim and following the traditions of the rabbis. Yeshua never, ever would have lit a Hanukkah. It's oral law. He would never have followed it. Never, ever.
Okay.
Otherwise, he couldn't have died without sin. Yeshua died without having sin. That's why he was the person.
So what, following tradition is sin?
Well, it's going against, it is sin. It's going against Scripture. You're adding to the Torah. And it says never to add or subtract from the Torah.
Yeah, but then isn't Hanukkah full stop, adding to the Torah?
No, Hanukkah means dedication. That's the whole thing that he went through. Every time
yeah,
you
the
see the word Hanukkah, dedication there, it's actually in Hebrew says Hanukkah. Yeah, the Mishkan or the temple was dedicated by Yehovah. And also Shlomo's temple was dedicated by Yehovah on the eighth day, but they never they They sacrificed, but they never lit candles for that dedication. It's a time of dedicating your life is more important than lighting a candle, and it or will ever be. We have to be careful we don't add to the Torah. And that's what the Hanukkah is. It's adding to Torah.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the remembrance service.